My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John speak comfort and promise to those who know that life and peace may only be found by abiding in the Savior. Always with Christ is a ministry of Holy Cross Anglican Church. Located in the desert mountains of Alpine in far west Texas, Holy Cross seeks to faithfully serve our Lord and our community by sharing the love of God in Jesus Christ, teaching the doctrine of the apostles, and breaking the bread of life. In this series, Father Damian Grout helps us understand the wisdom of observing the church year and the way it plays an important role in conforming us to the image and likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
In the Gospel lesson for this 14th Sunday after Trinity, the Church in her wisdom brings us to an unnamed village somewhere on the road that is leading Jesus from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem in the south to Holy Week in the cross. As Jesus and the disciples are entering into this unnamed village, they meet a group of 10 men, but these 10 men, in accordance with the law, are standing afar off. Yet they call out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." Why are they standing so far away? Why are they crying out for mercy? It's because they're lepers. They have contracted the deadly disease of leprosy. Now, if you were to go, say, to Wikipedia and look up leprosy, you'll find a discussion about Hansen's disease, which at one time was called leprosy. But Hansen's disease is not easily spread and no one really fears it anymore. But that's not the way that leprosy was regarded in the days of Jesus, because to become leprous was to receive a death sentence. Leprosy was highly contagious, and for these 10 men who had become lepers, they have been forced out of their homes. They have been forced away from their family, away from their livelihood, away from everything they'd ever known or loved. They were forced to go out into leper colonies where they would go to die. But they continued to live, sometimes for many years, but it was a very different kind of life than what they had known previously. Their bodies would be covered with awful weeping wounds that would putrefy and bring the decay of death upon them even while they lived. They were forbidden contact with anyone who was not infected. And whenever they saw someone approach, it was mandated that they call out a warning, lest anyone should come near and become infected. The only parallel in our own day that I can think of is the Ebola epidemic. It wasn't very long ago that the whole of the United States was gripped with fear that this dreaded and deadly disease that was ravaging parts of the African continent would come into our midst. I think the way that we felt about Ebola then is the same fear that those living in the first century felt about leprosy. When we turn back to our gospel lesson, to the 10 lepers that meet Jesus outside of the city, we see them daring the unthinkable. They don't avoid Jesus, they seek him out, and when he draws near, they do not warn him to stay away, rather they implore him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." Jesus looks upon them in mercy, and he instructs them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest," which was the only way in which one who had been excluded from the community through leprosy could ever be readmitted. The priest would examine them, and if the signs of the disease were gone, it would mean that this person was no longer contagious and that they could re-enter the life that they had once lived. So when Jesus gives these 10 lepers instruction to go and show themselves to the priest, they know what this means, that their request has been granted. Christ, who has healed many, has healed them too. As they begin their journey to see the priest, they look down at their bodies and they find that they are cleansed of this deadly disease. The sores dry up. The signs of infection disappear. So why does the church bring us into this story in our Trinity season journey? We find the reason in what happens next. All 10 sought mercy. All 10 came to Jesus looking for mercy. All 10 were diseased. All 10 are healed. But there's one and only one who, when he sees that he has been cleansed, he stops his journey to the priest's house. He praises God with a loud voice. He goes back to Jesus and he falls on his face before our Lord, thanking him for the mercy that he has received. But like the parable that we heard last Sunday, the parable of the Good Samaritan, this one who falls at the feet of Jesus is a Samaritan. Jesus answers his thanksgiving with a question. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? One Samaritan has returned in thanksgiving, the implication being that the other 9 who did not return were not Samaritans but Israelites, but they're nowhere to be found. The story ends with Jesus speaking to the Samaritan, saying to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." All 10 are cleansed, all 10 are healed, but only one is made whole. Today we're brought once again through this miracle of Jesus to examine the deadly sin of sloth. But I hope you can tell by the way that this story is told that we're seeking to find the deeper truths about this sin of sloth, the deeper truths about ourselves, about the goodness, about the healing, about the wholeness that comes only in Christ. We're seeking the grace of illumination. But like we talked in episode 8, sloth is not always about idleness or indolence, though this is usually the exact image we get in our mind, because the slothful may be busy, busier than anyone else even. The slothful may be a workaholic. The deadly sin of sloth, though, is a sluggishness of the mind, of the heart, to pursue that which is most necessary. Sloth is preferring the things that are of lesser importance over the things of the kingdom, the things that will live on forever. The Samaritan in our gospel recognizes that the ultimate priority is the worship of the one who has healed him. It's no accident that the central service of the church is called the Eucharist, which simply means thanksgiving. Each time the worshiper comes to worship in the Sunday Eucharist, the Holy Communion, the Mass, he or she is offering themselves as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. But what shall we say about those who neglect the Eucharist? Every available report on church attendance in the United States tells the same tragic story. While about 75% of Americans call themselves Christians, less than 18% attend services regularly. And of that 18% of services, how many of them are Eucharistic in nature? If we ask the question that way, I shudder to think what the numbers would be. But let's put this into the context of our gospel lesson. Of the 10 who were healed, how many returned in thanksgiving? Only one. How many in our day claim to be Christian? Yet how many of these offer themselves to God in a sacrifice of praise at the Holy Communion? Why is this the case? It's because of the deadly sin of sloth. Now, I do not mean to say that those who are not offering themselves in the divine liturgy are doing something wicked. They might, on a relative scale, be doing something good. But when they neglect the most needful thing for anything else, you see an example of the deadly sin of sloth. In closing, I want us to remember, what did the Samaritan who came to Christ in thanksgiving receive that the other 9 who were healed did not? Do you remember what Jesus said to him? Thy faith hath made thee whole. He received wholeness, which is far more than simply healing. It is this wholeness that we seek during these days of Trinity season, and it is this wholeness that we find in the Eucharist and nowhere else. Do not let the deadly sin of sloth hinder you from becoming whole in Christ. Amen.
Holy Cross Anglican Church is committed to upholding the historic Christian faith of Christ and His apostles through word and sacrament. We are located across from the golf course at 903 Fighting Buck Avenue in Alpine. Join us to worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, find us on Facebook at Holy Cross Anglican Church, Alpine, Texas.